The war in Iraq has been perhaps the most contentious issue in the U.S. presidential campaign. Democrat John Kerry claims he'd be able to bring in more allies and more international aid. President Bush argues he already has a coalition. But a donors' conference in Tokyo this past week showed just how limited international help has been. Wealthy nations promised only to do a better job of meeting their past pledges for Iraq. NPR's Michelle Kellerman has this report.
The Iraqi ambassador designate to Washington is sounding increasingly frustrated with international aid efforts for her country. Rendal Rahim told the news conference at the American Enterprise Institute this week that Iraq has received far less than it anticipated from the U.S. and other donors, who pledged $32 billion a year ago in Madrid, but have given only about $2 billion.
Some time ago, people were talking about the absorptive capacity of Iraq. Can Iraq absorb this much money? And the sad thing is that there has been so little money spent in Iraq that Iraq is parched. It's not a question of absorption. It's a question of getting enough money at this point to give some life to the economy and some life to the infrastructure.
At the Tokyo conference, donors agreed to speed up the flow of promised aid, but the issue of security clouded the conference. Raad al-Qadiri, who recently returned from 10 months in Iraq advising the British mission, sees continued reluctance on the part of the international community.
When you have the threat of kidnappings, when you have the threat of attacks, and when the costs of providing security to aid personnel on the ground is so high, countries are understandably reluctant to do it. You know, when 25-30% of contracting costs actually go on security, it gives you an idea of the kind of money that is being put in there.
One recent report by the Center for Strategic and International Studies said overhead costs in U.S.-funded contracts are so high that only about 27% of the aid money going into Iraq is actually benefiting the country. An author of another recent report on Iraqi reconstruction, Renaud Leenders of the International Crisis Group's Beirut office, says insurance and security costs can reach 50% because companies are relying on international workers. He says hiring Iraqis would be cheaper and better for the country.
Some actually told us it was even went up 50%, including insurance costs. Now, if you use Iraqi contractors, they wouldn't have this enormous cost. They're much more likely to operate freely or more freely and less likely to be targeted. So it still makes sense to try and start up a reconstruction project and focus on using Iraqis and generating employment on the ground.
But security is not the only reason countries are hesitant to pour in promised aid money to Iraq, according to Raad al-Qadiri.
It is partly to do with security, but it's also partly politics. It is a sense of not wanting to necessarily bail the Bush administration out for a mess that large parts of the international community felt that it got itself into.
James Steinberg of the Brookings Institution says at this point, burden sharing will be a problem for any U.S. administration.
There may be some reluctance to bail the Bush administration out, but I also think there's going to be a lot of reluctance to bail a potential Kerry administration out, too. And I think one of the things that's been very clear is that there's no great enthusiasm, at least among Europeans, for playing a greater role. There's deep skepticism about whether there's any successful strategy here, no sense in which somehow coming into the game would make a difference.
Though analysts say there's a lot at stake in Iraq, and donors have said they have an interest in helping Iraq reach its goal of elections in January, the American election season and the raging insurgency in Iraq have dampened expectations of any quick infusion of international aid. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.